Gang, for over a year now, I've been talking about True Hemp Science Full Spectrum CBD oils and how they've reduced my anxiety and helped me get better sleep without waking up feeling foggy and confused. I've also talked about the Full Spectrum CBD balms that relieved my hand pain last year and made playing piano and guitar much easier. Well, gang, today I'm going to tell you about True Hemp Science organic gummies made with Full Spectrum hemp oil that are available now. They come in two different gauges. There are 50 milligram ones that have 50 milligrams of CBD and 1.5 milligrams of THC. Then there are ones that are 100 milligrams of CBD and 5 milligrams of THC. Absolutely delicious lemon lime slash orange flavors and also watermelon black cherry flavors. Super, super delicious. Now, they also have a complete line of full spectrum CBD products, including oils, tinctures, skincare lotions, sports rubs, chocolates, gummies, all kinds of stuff. Well, gang, How Did I Get Here has teamed up with True Hemp Science to bring you a very special offer that benefits all of us. Spend $100 or more at truehempscience.com and you will get a free gift. Just enter the code HDIGH at checkout. There's a little code place there for you to enter it, HDIGH, and you will get a free gift with purchase. That's right. Go to truehempscience.com and balance your body and mind with True Hemp Science. Let's get down.
You may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here?
Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys have all had a good week, whatever it is you did this week. Maybe you're in Austin taking in South by Southwest. It's back, baby. It's back, baby. I'm actually doing this on Thursday, and I was supposed to MC an event today that was outside, and they have canceled it because of rain or impending rain or whatever, and that's actually okay, man. I'm kind of tired. I've been running around, going to a lot of events. I don't have a badge or anything this year, but I've been going to a lot of events. Going to some day stuff, going to some evening stuff. It's been a lot of fun, but I'm sure that Rosie is really glad to have me back today, and I'm glad to be back here with her. Gang, I want to let you know, if you're listening to this show the day that it comes out, Friday, March 17th, this is the Friday of South by Southwest, Austin Music Foundation is hosting a fantastic showcase tonight that is an official South by Southwest showcase. However, there's no badges required, no wristbands required, free entry, all ages invited. This is a great thing, and it celebrates our artist development program. It is Austin Music Foundation presents Austin ATX Gen Next with a lot of our artist development program artists from year six, including El Combo Oscuro, one of Austin's greatest psychedelic cumbia bands out there. Soul pop artist Jake Lloyd, who's tearing it up, man. I mean, I see him playing like five or six shows a day. Unbelievable, man. It's going to be a great show. Rock band The Dead Coats, singer-songwriter, poet Hawkins, all these great artists are playing, and they'll be kicking it off at 7 p.m. with Sammy and The Engine, all right? So each band goes on like 7 o'clock, Sammy and The Engine, 8 o'clock, Poet Hawkins, 9 p.m., The Dead Coats, and on and on. I'll put a link to this on our Facebook page, and you can go there and like our Facebook page while you're there, but also you can find out what's going on with this event. Come on out and check it out. It's going to take place at the Sheraton Backyard, which is at the Sheraton Hotel on 11th Street right here in Austin, all right? Go to austinmusicfoundation.org for more information if you're wondering what the Austin Music Foundation is. It's a great organization that for 21 years has been providing education to Austin musicians and music professionals at no cost to them, all right? I'm part of that organization. I've been working with the Austin Music Foundation's Artist Development Program for the last 6 years. It's been a lot of fun. We've been taking a few bands and helping them out, taking them in to record at the Bubble with Frenchie Smith, teaching them stuff that they need to know about. And so tonight we're going to be celebrating some of those bands. All right. So come on out tonight, Friday, March 17th, kicks off at 7 p.m. with Sammy and The Engine. And then you'll enjoy sets from four of our fantastic artist development program, year six artists, tonight, March 17th at Sheraton Backyard. All kicks off at 7 p.m. with Sammy and The Engine. All right. All right. Hey, gang, I have a great show for you guys today. I have a fantastic show for you guys today. Austin jazz band Atlas Mayor returns to the show today. They were on a few years ago. Josh Peters, the guy who plays fretless oud and lute, and Joshua Thompson, who plays saxophone, they are my guests on the show today. They have a brand new EP out called Hadal, and you're wondering, like, what is Hadal? Well, the name Hadal is Atlas Mayor's metaphor for their post-pandemic artistic perseverance within a rapidly changing global context, right? The world is changing. It's changing fast. Things are going all over the place. Artists are sent here, artists are sent here. That's what I would say, from the magical land of art people, to sort of make sense of that, reinterpret it, and bring it back. These guys are amazing musicians. This is their first collection that's informed by music from all over the world. Like, they use this Arab Makamat modal system. I know, I don't even understand it. Brazilian rhythms, Gulf rhythms from Saudi Arabia, all kinds of music from all over the world, blending it into this gorgeous, gorgeous EP, Hadal. Available now wherever it is that you stream and download music. You can find them at atlasmayor.com. They'll be playing shows everywhere. And in fact, gang, they're playing tonight. Their South by Southwest showcases tonight, Friday, March 17th at midnight at Parker Jazz Lounge. You can look it up wherever it is that you find stuff, or go to atlasmayor.com to find out what else is going on with these guys. We have a fantastic conversation. And before we get into it, let me just tell you a quick aside. When I started this podcast 11 and a half years ago, there were yard guys. I live in an apartment complex and I've lived here the whole time. So there are yard guys that come once a week. However, that once a week is never really the same. They're not on an exact schedule for their once a week visits. So take, for instance, 1 week they'll come on Tuesday at 2. And then the next week they'll come on Thursday at 11 in the morning. You just never know when it's happening. So I can't really schedule my podcast around it. We had to stop talking for a little while. And I had to go back and like take out a whole part where we were just waiting for the whing to end. But it comes in and out a little bit. The guys are blowing. And you can hear it a little bit, but Josh and Joshua have a lot to say that's worth hearing. So enjoy my conversation with Josh Peters and Joshua Thompson from Atlas Mayor. Let's get down. Were you guys up for Sonic Guild Black Fret?
No, we haven't been. We haven't been, but I was there with Cilantro Boombox.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Some of the crew there.
I love those dudes.
Yeah, so I'm in that crew, you know. So we were, I think that was 2020 and 2021. We were with the former Black Fret.
Yeah. They've only done more, man. They've expanded. They're in Denver and Seattle and shit now.
Right.
It's insane. What's going on? You like that? Tell me about the oud. Explain that instrument to me, because I don't know, man.
Yeah, well, it's a either 11 or 13 string fretless lute that's very old instrument. It's been around since before the European lute. It's the predecessor, but it's been played continuously for, you know. Probably.
So it's a Middle Eastern lute.
Yeah, well, it's used in North Africa. It's used in the Mediterranean. It was once used in Europe. It's used in Central Asia to a degree.
Greece,
Mediterranean. East Africa.
There's a Iranian barabat.
Yep.
That's similar, an instrument that Josh Peters also plays on our new album. He's playing barabat on that.
But yeah, it's got a big bold wooden, it's a wooden stringed instrument. It's got a big bold back. No frets. So that's the big difference between oud and European lute, is that there's no frets on it.
Right. And for those listening, didn't Sting do like a whole thing with a lute at some point? Wasn't he involved with the lute?
I don't know.
He's part of a movement like 20 years ago, and he was like, it was a weird thing because like you guys create this music that's like, but works with that lute thing. He was just doing sting stuff. It's like, oh, look at this instrument. You know what I mean? Like, I'm playing a weird instrument.
Are you thinking about the Sheb Memmi sting collaboration on Desert Rose? That was a thing.
The thing with the car commercial.
Exactly. I don't associate with that, but yeah, I didn't know what you were talking about. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I don't know why I have such a nasty feeling towards Sting. I used to really like him as a kid. I love the Police, but I don't listen to him anymore. I just like, I don't like that. I don't, what happened to me?
I don't know, man.
This isn't about me, though. Let's talk about you guys.
It's not really about any of us, but go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. Hadal. That's how you say it?
Yeah, Hadal.
Hadal.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And there's, as we're talking about this Middle Eastern fretless lute, this EP, there's a mashup of so many different places in the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you want to talk about that a little bit? Because it's really interesting. It's like, it's really awesome because, you know, like, I don't get, and to say this like this sounds weird, but guys like you on here, I always get like singer-songwriter, like, oh, I wrote this song in G. It's about my, you know, somebody broke my heart. But like, you guys are really like doing this really interesting, like, forward. And you know, there's roots in what you're doing.
Mm. Sure.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah. You want to talk about how that all came together?
Yeah, I mean, so there's a lot of things going on. A
lot of things.
And so we started writing together. We wrote a lot of the melodic content, just kind of tossing ideas between each other. And some of that is based in Arabic maqam and Turkish maqam. Ideas, which is the melodic language of those traditions.
That's the maqamat modal system.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. So some of it's coming from that, and some of it's coming more from like basalt. Is this just like minor pentatonic?
Uh-huh.
I guess you could say that's more jazz influenced melodic material to a degree. But it also has this African, West African kind of influence in that particular piece. And we kind of went with that in the rhythmic sections too. There was a lot of inspiration, and a lot of these, a lot of it is like, we're not necessarily pulling a rhythm or an idea directly, but we're using that as the inspiration. Like with Basalt, for example, like I was listening to a lot of like High Life from Ghana and thinking about that with the rhythm. And then I did this drum arrangement for two drummers kind of based on some of what I was hearing in those recordings.
And then like the tune Basalt originally, like there's like a definitely like a link with Ornette Coleman and free jazz inspiration in general. How we start the piece is kind of a nod to Ornette with a harmelodic approach to his compositions.
That's the opening song.
Because the
melody that comes in, it reminds you of. Like those kind of like the, a specific era of jazz.
Mm.
But then we're doing this other thing with it.
Yeah.
And then we go into, in the middle of that piece, we go into this rhythm that comes from Saudi Arabia. That's this very like, but also has kind of, is kind of reminiscent of Brazilian samba rhythms at the same time.
Right.
So it's like this kind of connecting different musical influences that we have. And I was really interested in when we were working on this album, there's multiple rhythms that we use from that, the Arabian Peninsula, the Khalij, because that was something that I was just really listening to a lot at that time, was the music from that region. And I was really inspired by some of those rhythms.
Would you mind just real quick for somebody listening, like how do you go find a bunch of stuff like that? Because I was looking for some 70s West African funk because I'm a huge fan of that stuff, and there used to be a show that I could get from some college radio station on iTunes, yeah. but that's gone. And I was looking for stuff on Spotify and having a hard time finding a specific. How do you search that?
Well, it helps to know some Arabic. that's pretty helpful.
Oh, that sucks.
But
for me,
you can find a lot of this stuff. Like, there's a lot of kind of curated playlists on Spotify, and like, you know, you can search around YouTube.
Yeah.
If you know some key terms,
okay,
that will help you a lot. And like specific artists too. Like, if you look up, you know, you could put on like Om Kulthum Radio, or you know, some really famous musician of a particular genre you're looking for, and then
okay.
you might be able to find some other things if you don't, you know anything about the musical culture or the language at all.
Right.
So you might be able to use that as an avenue, like, okay, I know I like this artist from this tradition, like, let's see what else is kind of adjacent.
Right.
There's even like I think there's even like an Arab jazz playlist on Spotify.
Yeah, I think there's a couple actually.
Couple. And also SoundCloud is, for some reason, is really popular in the Middle East for Middle Eastern music.
Yeah, there's a ton of stuff on SoundCloud.
Yeah, and also like you can search, like a colleague of mine sent me an amazing playlist of Middle Eastern jazz about a month ago. So yeah, SoundCloud is like a big thing in that part of the world for playlists in general. But yeah, I mean, you know, this like what Josh Peters is saying, you know, about these influences rhythmically, I would also add that like a lot of these things, you know, are different rhythms or coming from different creative sources that have also been in the band for a long time. Mm-hmm. This is particularly different because of the high life and the golf rhythms, but like the Brazilian influence, the Afro-Cuban influence, maybe the Afro-Cuban is a little bit more recent. But like the Turkish, the 9-8 rhythm that we have on Fata Morgana, that's something that's been around for a while that we kind of like use that and explored it in a new way on this particular record, influenced by other types of music. Like I was writing about, we were listening to, you know, myself, my inspiration for that was like Farouk Sibe and the loft jazz scene of New York in the 70s.
The loft jazz scene?
Yeah, the loft jazz scene, you know, like Albert Eiler, all this stuff
that was
coming out, like David S. Ware, people like that. A lot of stuff flying around, but, you know, specifically, you know, and like you were talking about asking about the resources where we find some of this stuff. We're also connected with a community and communities of people and musicians who play Middle Eastern music. We played in ensembles here at UT.
Okay.
We've been, you know, I've been to Turkey. We have a lot of Turkish friends. So we have like I've been accumulating a lot of texts, and I know like Peter's, you know, being from North Texas and also his compositional ideas and the things that he's been studying. So between us, we have a lot of, a lot of stuff to draw
a lot of
off
knowledge.
Of. Yeah. Well, yeah. We're getting there.
The
yeah.
Music. Yeah.
Yeah. We're getting there.
Yeah.
we're eternal students.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, there's definitely a lot of influences coming together, and there's a lot of both new inspiration and inspiration that's been with us for a long time coming together.
I noticed that when you play music from other places in the world, it's different than being like a American and British rock dude, like, you know, me, like that's what I've been listening to my whole life, or like, you know, Americana or some shit. But there seems to be, like, when I talk to people like the members of Leyline, mm-hmm. who are nothing like you guys, but philosophically they're bringing together all of these different, and they spend a lot of time going to these places and like immersing themselves in this culture, that there is like this lifelong, When you're involved in world music and doing the kind of thing that you guys are doing, there's this lifelong like journey of learning. Like it's like a quest. You're never going to be Yoda.
No. Yeah, and there's a common thread of that in a lot of different musical traditions, from jazz to, you know, Indian music, Arabic and Turkish musics, you know, lots of, I mean, any music really, any like traditional music that you might find,
Folk music.
Any kind of folk music or classical music of different places. There's kind of a, there's an attitude of like, you know, always being in service of the music and the art and like always being looking for the next way to refine and, you know, create better art. And understand the music better too.
Yeah.
And just self-reflection, like, you know, and like this this process of cultivation that you know, hopefully by the time we're like really old, we'll be really good at what we do. You know,
yeah,
this kind of thing. You know, I'm sure
that's the way it's supposed to work.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, it seems also like in the style of music that you play, you're allowed to do that. It's not like you're doing like a pop record where you got to be like, once you're 30, you're like old,
right?
You know what I mean? Like the wisdom is appreciated in jazz.
Oh yeah,
yeah, definitely.
I feel like you're not really even in your prime until you're. Well, I don't know. People could debate, but like, you know, like your 40s and 50s are where you're trying to be coming into your own sound and with what you're doing.
And like, you know, if you talk to like Indian classical musicians, it's like you're not even like at all at your prime until you're like much, much older.
Like they don't let you out of the tabla room.
Yeah,
until like, you're like 60.
Nobody's gonna call you. Nobody's gonna call you Ustad until you're like really. You know,
right?
You're already like a master and teaching people, and
or like in Moroccan culture, where you're playing the krakegs for years and years and years and years before you ever get to play the gimbri, you know, and that's reserved for the malam or like the master teacher.
Yeah. You know? So you guys co-compose these pieces.
Yeah.
What does that look like? Like, do you do some on your own and send it to each other via Dropbox or some shit, or do you actually sit in a room and bang this out?
No, it's a mix. I mean, we'll definitely write different things on our own, and then try to put it together. Or sometimes, you know, somebody will come up with a more complete idea, and then we'll work on it that way. But it's, you know, it's a mix and match of things.
Yeah,
you know, we did a lot of writing remotely during the pandemic, doing more Dropbox and at home voice note type stuff. I think we enjoy getting together and being in a room the most.
And then
taking whatever we have worked on and then go back to our own little woodshed on our own in our room and refine things and then come back with something and then put it together. And then once we have a song together, then we're teaching it to
the band.
A band.
Yeah.
I guess that's kind of what we do. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like, I think there's, and it depends on the composition too. Like sometimes one of us will come with something fairly complete and then we'll just kind of refine and tweak and maybe the other person will add something to it. And other times it's more fluid and just we're improvising and then, you know, he'll play something and I'll be like, oh, what's that? Play that again. You know, and we try to catch these little ideas and turn them into something.
Do you, I know that you do it differently every time, but does it help to start off with like a groove? Like, do you?
Not really.
We both of you guys made the exact same face. That was awesome. Yeah, I don't know.
Not really. No, sometimes, but usually not.
Usually not. Yeah, it's. I think we both have a very like melodically driven writing style.
Yeah, it comes through in the music.
We're thinking about melody first, and then we're kind of seeing like, oh, okay, so here's this melody. What's the right groove for this? You know.
Yeah.
It's like it's melody, and then the rhythm, which obviously is a part of the groove, but you know, but like specifically like the, like what rhythm is this? Like what are we actually playing this song and what time signature is this going? Is this really in 25 or can we simplify it?
Yeah.
which is one of the pieces we're working on now. We thought it was 25 and we realized that it's like 7 and 8 or something.
Yeah.
Or different sections of
Sections of things. Mostly. Yeah, that was a fun kind of process with that because...
Do you say fun sarcastically or are you serious?
No, really.
Okay, yeah.
Truly fun. Because, I mean, for me, I love that kind of nerdy, nerdy stuff of like, you know, like I think a lot of that piece was like you were playing, you had this whole melodic idea.
Yeah.
And I basically transcribed it.
Yeah, he's trying to help me out. We were trying to figure out what this is.
Because he was playing this thing and I was like, wow, that's cool. What is going on here? And I transcribed it, and it was like, oh, we're in like 25/8 time signature. like interesting. And then as we kept developing it, we kind of realized that it didn't need to be that like, like the way he was playing it maybe changed a little bit. And I was like, oh, actually this works. And now we can just be in four, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So it's, yeah, there's a lot of like, malleability in the process. And sometimes it really is like, no, it needs to be in 25. And then other times it's like, actually we can just shorten this bar a little bit. And now it's like in, you know, four or six or like, you know, and I think too, usually like, you know, I said we're melodically driven, but we're usually hearing some kind of rhythm internally.
Sure. Yeah.
As you you know?
Yeah.
And then it's a matter of figuring out what that's going to actually look like with a band.
Yeah.
You know,
do you kind of record them at the same time that you're kind of like trying to lay them out if you're working by yourself or?
Yeah. I mean, we'll record our sessions together. And then mm-hmm. we can listen back to like what we were playing and
right.
the ideas and things. And then,
cause a lot, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I'm trying to clarify and just kind of find out because some of what you do is improvisational bouncing off of each other when you're playing together. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels that way.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, improvisation is a huge component of our sound in general and
of jazz.
Yeah. And just, you know, and like if it's, that's how these songs, I mean, for me, the improvisation and the new approach with it and it not being stuck to one way that it's played, that's what gives the song life and the reason to keep playing it.
Yeah.
That it does change. So change is, I think, I look at these songs as like a evolving, living being. Mm-hmm. They're going to be changing. We're all changing. I mean, so when you're improvising, you're reflecting that.
Exactly.
And putting that into the music.
Yeah. All right, so Friday, March 17th, midnight at Parker Jazz Club, you guys
Correct.
Are. What are you doing for that? Like, are you playing the EP in its entirety, or are you doing a mixture of stuff? Like, how do you guys do that?
Yeah, well, we're definitely going to be playing material off of the new release to support the record and have a curated program for that show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a nice little thing going, a nice little program set up that we're still working on, actually. We had a great rehearsal today, so we're excited about what we're going to do. So, yeah, it's going to be good.
Yeah.
You know.
How much improvisation happens then at the show during your South by Southwest thing? Is it less improvisational, or is it still as free as a normal?
You know, we kind of write the set depending on how, like, the allotted time of the showcase, right?
So 40 minutes?
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, we want to come with a nice 40-minute set. I mean, there's still going to be improvisation, but, you know, we may abbreviate certain sections or you know, shorten certain things because we want to play, you know.
As many songs as possible.
Well, not necessarily, but yeah, I mean, you know, it's not too much time. I mean, that's basically like a short set for us. I mean, for anybody. I mean, we're used to playing. I mean, we could play for 3-4 hours.
Sure. I imagine you can.
You know how it is. Yeah. I mean, we don't do that so often anymore, but we like to, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have that great of a vocabulary improvisationally to play 4 hours of just making shit up. I'll be honest with you.
Well, we have like
I write like songs.
I mean, that's cool. I mean, but
I live in this world with parameters.
We also do have enough actual songs to play. But yeah, I mean, in that case, we could play for 8 hours.
If we're just playing. Yeah.
Do you guys? You were saying that you did a duo. At Central Market.
No, we're doing a duo at Carousel Lounge.
Carousel Lounge. That's right. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
On that's this Friday, I believe.
That's
right?
Yeah, the March 10th.
Yeah,
that'll be past this. But what do you do when you do a duo? What are you doing?
Well, it depends.
What instruments?
We'll do. This coming one is more of an experimental duo. So we do that. We'll also do a duo and where we actually play Atlas Mayor songs. And it's just like a normal kind of Atlas Mayor show, but it's just saxophone and oud. And I might play some percussion. But yeah, and this one coming up is more experimental and it's more free. So it's I'm going to be doing percussion and oud and modular synth stuff and trumpet, and it's just like an open-ended.
Flutes, I'll probably be playing some different flutes. I have these Peruvian flutes I want to play more of. But yeah, I mean, it's cool that you mentioned that because like Atlas Mayor, we have kind of projects within the band.
Right, right.
So we have like the band that's like a, usually like a four-piece, sometimes a five-piece. And then we have like the band that we play our written compositions. And then we have another project within the band called Atlas Mayor Palindrome, which is more experimental. It's more improvisational in general. And we recorded an album a number of years ago called Palindrome, and now this is becoming like an ongoing project within the group.
Yeah.
So that's another thing we do. Then sometimes we'll do a configuration with just Indian tablas as a trio.
Yeah, I saw that. Mm-hmm. I want to see that. When are you guys doing that again?
I don't know.
I don't know.
We don't know yet, but we will be doing it.
I hope we're doing it soon because I really enjoy that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've like also done a bass trio with no drums where it's like oud, saxophone, bass, which is also really nice.
That's pretty awesome.
Yes.
So yeah, there's different configurations and different things happen in those different kind of sub projects of the band.
Like it kind of sounds like we're all over the place, but really it's like we have certain written material that we're conceiving of it conceptually in different kind of environments, and then we have other like approaches to improvisation that we're exploring in different configurations.
Yeah.
So it's not quite as
insane as it sounds.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah, you guys
more cohesive.
But I can see that it sounds kind of insane. Feels that way not very often actually, but we've been doing it a long time, you know.
How is it to get through those, like when you guys are working on something, what Joshua, what do you bring, what role do you guys play when you're creating together? Mm-hmm. I'm trying to figure out the dynamic between you two.
Really it's anything. I mean, it's open. I mean, Josh Peters and I are driving it creatively, and depending on what it is, whether or not it's a song or like a show, you know, it's a lot of back and forth. Mm-hmm. I would say, you know,
you just kind of like whoever has the idea kind of leads it and the other guy helps.
Well, it's kind of like we have certain ideas we're bringing to the table, and then certain things stick at certain times, and then we're working on that. I mean, we have like a lot of things in the pipe that we haven't even performed live.
Yeah.
Like we have a whole record to record, like a new thing, and like two records to record. So it's just about like we have a lot of ideas. That's just about like where we're at in the pipe of like finishing certain, like we have another record that's finished in terms of the writing it essentially. And then we have other ideas that we're finishing to write.
Yeah.
Where did you record this EP?
We recorded this at Hen House Recording.
Where's that?
That's up on Burnett.
How do you when you record this stuff, like do you guys record together as a group live? Are you able to do that? Because sometimes
that's what we did for this one. We just we had me and Tarek, the bass player, were in a room together. The two drummers were in a room together, and Joshua Thompson was in a little isolation room, but we played the whole thing. We played it live together.
Yeah.
So we weren't able to all be like totally in the same room together.
No, but I
mean, we could see we had some lines of
music at the same time and reacting off of each other, which is
it was recorded live in that way. And that's what we prefer to do. Because it really, we want to capture the energy of the live performance.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like a lot of times, you know, I used to, want to like overdub solos and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, we have that option of going at, I mean, we will go ahead and, you know, punch something in if we really want to get it better. We're not like, you know, purely, oh, it has to be 100% live in real time or we're weird about it. Most of the time, the live solo stays anyways because it's better.
Yeah.
Because of the energy, you know. But, you know, we like to, I think we believe in making, you know, records as best as they can be, you know.
Yeah.
Embracing technology and opportunities, though. Change things.
Yeah. Do you guys know who Bob Lefsetz is? It's like an old school music business critic. Mm. Like it's just always letting you know what's happening in the business. But in the last like 10 years, he started a podcast.
Oh.
But he's a he's like an old dude, and he's almost like your uncle that's like concerned about how you're making a living. So he always asks people like the weirdest questions, like, you have enough money to live, right? So, but there is something, I mean, there is like an economic aspect to music that is a difficult thing. Like we can't make money off of the actual music anymore, which is a weird thing. You got to play these shows or you got to have merch. Like, how do you guys... because there's not a lot of radio stations playing music like what you do.
Right.
And there's not a lot of like you know, I went to this Unity Festival yesterday. There was no band like yours playing. I was thinking about that today when I was listening to the EP. I always hear like pop people here in Austin talk about how they're marginalized. But I'm like, what about fucking jazz guys?
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
You know, there's a new place, Parker Jazz Club. I mean, that's a hopeful thing, like a really cool place opened.
Yeah.
That's fancy and nice. Sure.
Yeah.
And like a good place for you to showcase your music, but like,
right.
Are you guys able to tour and stuff like that or go out and play shows, or do you like go, you know, I don't know.
I mean, honestly, we have toured in the past. We want to tour again. We're working on that. We're trying to stretch throughout Texas, and we've been doing that. We've been up in North Texas playing some shows, and we were out in Houston in December.
Oh, that's cool.
So we've been trying to work Texas more, which is interesting. You know, there's always limitations, you know, with budget and things like that. You know, touring has been brutal for people the last few years. So, you know,
totally brutal.
You know, yeah, totally brutal. I mean, we've cut back. We're trying to do it. That's the goal, and you know, just staying with it, and you know, making strides within the industry, and trying to meet more like-minded individuals who are booking agents and managers and people, you know, because you know, and in Austin, there's always been a lack of infrastructure comparatively to other big markets,
right?
You know,
it also seems like you guys are poised to, like, if somebody were making a film or something, like your music is really has a very strong visual thing too. It seems like you could soundtrack wise or scoring wise if someone was looking
for
that kind of thing, because I'm always like trying to look for outlets. Like, I don't know if you guys know, I work with the Austin Music Foundation and I'm a mentor in their artist development program, so I'm always trying to find like how can you turn this into something that you can, you know, keep on making more stuff.
Yeah,
right.
Keep on affording studio time at least. You know, if you can't if you can't use it to feed yourself, at least use it to like sustain itself and keep growing on its own.
Yeah.
Like working as your own record label.
Yeah. If you're listening to this and you're making a film, let us know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Also, let me know if you don't want their stuff.
Yeah.
That's the other thing, is everyone's in competition with each other. But you guys, I mean, you did get a publicist, and that's one way to get the word out about stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a publicist. We have, you know, people on staff who work with us. We have consultants and... Yeah, you know.
I like your publicist a lot, by the way, Ryan. He's a nice guy. He's always been
good.
Cool.
He's a good dude.
And Mercedes.
Yeah, for sure.
The good people.
So, you know, it takes a long time. I mean, well, you know, it doesn't have to take a long time, but, you know, it's, you want to be working with people you feel good about and who can get you to where you want to be and you can communicate with. And if you're not finding that, then you need to keep doing it yourself.
Right.
And that's the name of the game. I mean, you're always doing it. We're always doing it ourselves. You know?
Yeah. And it seems like the success of what you do would be predicated more on a body of work. Like the more you know what I mean? Like having more music and what people would get from you seeing you live, as opposed to like your success all hinging on a song being able to get on a radio. You know what I mean?
Sure, yeah.
Like there's a little bit more of a... have you guys ever heard of this guy, David Kolar?
Mm-hmm.
I just had him on the show. He's Danish avant-garde that. Jazz guitar player guy. It's pretty interesting. He broke into the film thing and documentaries and stuff in Europe, which is a good sort of like sustaining thing for them.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, your music has like so much. It sets a tone. Like there's a feeling when, you know what I mean? And it seems like in the right circumstance, that music would enhance the feeling of what you're seeing visually. Mm-hmm. You guys make videos?
We need more.
We need more.
We need to make more videos.
Yeah, we do.
That's some place that we've discussed a lot about that we want to advance coming up here.
I think, you know, another, I think like, because you're talking about like you're mentioning that our music is kind of to use, you know, this kind of cinematographic element.
Yeah.
I feel like we want to find somebody who does video and film, almost like there would be like another entity and member of the
collaborator.
Exactly. We haven't really found that yet.
Yeah, yeah.
But we may. We're in talks.
It's so awesome, yeah, too, because like now you have access to everyone in the world, because that person might not be in Austin.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Sure.
You never know. So you guys do stuff at Carousel Lounge. You do stuff at Parker Jazz Club. Where else are you guys playing these days?
We're playing at Central Market Westgate, and that's our kind of like family friendly event.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll be there on March 11th. We have another, we're going to be on Fox News in the morning. We're going to do Good Day Austin. We're going to
during South by
this week.
Yeah, yeah,
and we got something special for Fox News.
What are you doing?
We got something special. I don't know.
I guess he can't tell. No, this is coming out after it.
Yeah.
So you can tell me.
It's going to be. Yeah, that's true. It's Well, we're going to do this wild improvisation right out of the gate, and then go into a tune. And yeah, it's a long composition. So
do they like? Aren't there sections like real short or something?
Well, we have
like 5 minutes or something.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, in 2005, during the American Idol television season of 2005, I was on a panel that used to go on Fox News in the morning here. It was like, it was me and, do you guys know Spencer Gibb? He's Robin Gibb from the Bee Gees.
He
used to be my neighbor, and cool. and then like the television critic from the Chronicle and a music critic from the Chronicle, and we would go on the day of the thing and say who we thought was going to get kicked off the next day or whatever. Anyway, whenever people talk about Fox News, I always just think about like I thought I was going to have a job.
Yeah,
then like I thought, but eventually I got let go because it was the year that Paula Abdul was like on pills. And I was making fun of her too much. And you're not supposed to make fun of the show. You can make fun of the contestants, but you can't make fun of the show because you're on Fox and it's a Fox show. So it was just kind of like, hey, we're not going to have you back, man.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's interesting, man. I wonder if it's going to like, what's going to happen to those people in the morning just having their cereal and like, whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the idea. That's the idea. So it should be hot.
It's gonna be hot. It's gonna be hot.
There's gonna be caffeine. It's gonna be good.
Yeah. high energy.
What other kind of outlets do you guys get to go do? Those are fun. Like I always like going on those morning shows and stuff.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah.
You ever stayed up all night doing drugs and gone on one? I did.
No, but
it was the dumbest thing I ever did.
That sounds pretty
bad.
Awesome. During the pandemic, we did a live stream for Tokyo, Japan.
Oh yeah,
that felt like we may have been on drugs, but we were not. Because it was just so
early.
It was so early. Like we started at like 3 a.m. And then we started rolling at like 5:30. And it was insane.
And it was just kind of bizarre.
It was really bizarre.
Being that it was like we were just doing this live stream in, you know, somebody's
house.
Living room.
Yeah.
we all showed up at like 3 in the morning with our coffee.
So weird.
And like tried to eat some breakfast and have our coffee and then start playing for people in Japan. It was like... very surreal kind of.
Did you guys do a lot of live streams during the pandemic?
We did
we did quite a bit, especially in the beginning.
Two, three times a month.
Yeah.
That's a lot. Yeah. I think like it was kind of a lot.
Yeah.
And we realized like, you know, like I'm so glad we're not doing that, but anymore.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, like looking back, it was so awful, but at the same time, it was great because, you know, it was just as much for us as it was for anybody, you know, just to keep playing. That was like such an accomplishment at that time to play music, man, you know, with people, with humans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I did have the thing and I'm glad it's over because I didn't enjoy it that much. But there was a thing that happened. Like I would do them for like a month. I was just looking because I realized that one of the things I got is still set up there to do the piano songs.
Yeah.
And I've
seen some of I saw some of yours.
You did?
Yeah, I did. No, it was cool. It was cool, man.
Well, I just made it like a happy hour. And I ended up, dude, I would get so drunk on those nights. And I'd like end up on the phone with like people I hadn't seen in years, like kids from I went to like high school with. We're like, shit, I saw you playing tonight, man, you still do it, you know, because it was such a weird time.
Yeah.
But the one thing that I noticed and I thought it was really awesome was I would do them like a month on and then a month off. And when I do the month off, people would be like, shit, that was like my Thursday. That was my thing.
Yeah.
Like I'm just sitting here in my fucking house And I had like my time, my Johnny time, and now you're taking it away from me. And that really, that you realized how much what we do means to people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you get that a lot during that time?
Yeah, like, I think so.
People needed
yeah.
those shows.
Yeah.
I think so. I think it definitely ebbed and flowed, you know, during the course of the whole thing. I definitely think people cared about it more at more times than others, which is normal. I mean, I'm a musician and I don't want to see live streams all the time. You know what I mean? I mean, so, and I'm into music, you know what I mean? And yeah, like, yeah, I yeah. want to support. Yeah. So I totally get it. You know, I mean, I think for anything, you know, it's the important thing is like being connected to the essence of the art and the music and being connected to people. And those two things are, I think, are interconnected, and those are the things that I love about music the most yeah. is the creation of it,
yeah,
and being in a community, being out at the Sahara Lounge, like we yeah. were there on Saturday night,
yeah,
we were playing there, and you know, just seeing so many friends and yeah. seeing people and being in the community, and so, you know, that's always a big component of Atlas Mayor, is also how we are connected to the Middle Eastern community, to the Indian community, to the Persian community, to, you know, the UT ensemble, the Africanite Sahara scene, all these cats, you know, and supporting everybody. And because, you know, this kind of international world music scene
yeah.
is not something that people really think about, yeah. about Austin. And it's really special. And there's a yeah. lot of really happening things here
yeah.
that have been happening for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, I did an interview on Sun Radio like years ago. They had no idea that like one of the famous, and this is not a critique of anybody, but like they had no idea that Hamza Adin, who's a very famous oud player, taught at UT in the 70s for like a decade.
I have no idea.
And then yeah, a lot of people, and I'm not criticizing them, but it was the smugness in which they were talking about it, as if like, oh, this is the first time we've ever had this music ever on the air. And it's like, actually, no, man,
like the guy lived yeah. here for a long time.
Yeah, yeah, like he lived here like for and taught at UT for like over a decade. And he's like one of the most prolific musicians. So anyways, it's all good. It's all love. You know what I mean?
Well, no. You know what I mean? But we're also like in the middle of Texas too. But
yeah. So well,
there's
sure.
like a, like,
you sure. know, but yeah. it's Austin. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's Austin. Yeah. You know, it's still Austin, I think, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe.
That's a good, yeah, I think it is too.
You know?
At least last time I looked. At that Unity show, I got that. I like going to things where everybody's at the thing. Like when you see someone at a Sonic, Sonic Guild.
Yes.
I was going to call it Sonic Ranch, but that's
in
studio.
El Paso. Yeah.
You guys ever go out there?
No, but I heard it's pretty dope.
That's dope.
I have some
man.
Friends that went out there. Yeah, you been? That's dope, man.
Dude,
we would love to go out there.
Check this
yeah.
out. I was in a band in that band, but like fucking 1998, I went out there and looked at it with them, and we were going to record out there. But like the guy that we were producing with was from New York City, and he was like, "I am not living in the middle of nowhere. Like, I'm just not. Like,
sure,
that's not what I'm doing."
Totally.
So we ended up going to LA, but I became friends with Tony, the guy that owns it. And so I've never recorded there, but I've gone there and just like stayed for a couple of days.
Nice.
Like
just
rode horses yeah. and smoked weed and motorcycles and shit. Like not motorcycles, but like four wheelers and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. I just made myself seem tough. Like I ride a motorcycle. That's why I had to immediately correct myself.
Riding bikes and stuff, man. Yeah.
Riding bikes and stuff.
Put your chaps on, Johnny.
Yeah. I need to wear my chaps.
Chap it up.
You guys have more music ready to go record.
And yeah, we do.
Yeah.
We do. We have music ready to record, and
yeah.
one of the things that we badly need to do is to finish a bunch of songs so that when people come and see us next, in the coming months, they're going to get a very different show.
Yeah,
you know.
Do you guys have other jobs? Like, what else do you do? We don't mind saying it. Some people do mind.
I play music.
Okay.
I play music.
Yeah,
yeah. That's
I do,
all.
I do some booking work
doing
and
right
stuff
now.
Like that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot you have to do. I mean, I do too, but like I've got to go to Arizona and write songs with some fucking financial company.
Yeah.
and then I got to go play a cover, sing at somebody's wedding.
Yeah.
And I
got
to go do another thing at a place and then finally get back to my music, do the podcast.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's a hustle.
It is a hustle.
And, you know, I think balance and focus is, man, really key, you know? And
yeah.
It's like time management skills.
And it's great that you guys are able to sort of like adapt your size to like whatever gig you're doing, and you can kind of do, because I bet that makes it like a little easier, like when you guys can make a little bread doing something just the two of you as opposed
sure.
to like a whole band thing.
Yeah,
sure, that's definitely a thing. I mean, you know, originally we were a trio, this band, years ago, because of that, because we couldn't like find someone like a dedicated musician at that time. But like, because we are flexible, it does help with that. But also beyond that, it's actually serving our creative endeavors to be able to do different things. It's not so much like, oh, we have to settle for this way of doing it. It's like, no, this is actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, how we're doing it. So
Can I ask you a weird question? Like, where do you get a, where do you get a, an oud? And if it breaks, who fixes it?
Getting it is much easier than finding someone who can fix it reliably. But yeah, I mean, you get
that's a guy that gets like one oud every 2 years to work on or something
Yeah. It's definitely a challenge finding the right people to work on it if you need that done. But do you generally, you just order them directly from a maker.
Okay.
Because there's not, it's like there's not really too many places here in the States where you can walk into a music shop and see one.
Can't just walk in a straight.
No. Yeah. I think that I remember my first one I found at a pawn shop in Dallas, actually. Yeah. So you do find them. And I found a really amazing one. Where was that? It was at another pawn shop. But it's this, it was made in like 1938 in Chicago by this Armenian oud maker who came over here and became a furniture maker in Chicago. But he made several ouds, and some of them are still around, and I have one. I found one in a pawn shop.
It's amazing.
Yeah, that is amazing.
So they're around. You can find them, you know, eBay, Craigslist. Occasionally you'll see. I do, every once in a while, I'll check the Austin Craigslist and just search for oud, and every once in a while, there's one up. Somebody's selling one. They're usually not very good, but
does anyone ever come up to you after a show and like, "Hey, I just got an oud. Will you give me lessons?"
It does happen.
It has happened, actually. Yeah.
It does happen. Yeah.
I was actually teaching a kid out in West Austin like several years ago for a while.
Yeah.
And it was something like that where somebody saw us at a show and was like, "Oh, you know, can you teach my kid oud?" I was like, "Yeah." Great.
More often is people just asking in general, what is this instrument?
Right. Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of that. I think that's a really cool thing. That's it another thing really about cool. Bands is, like Leyline. There's an educational component. Yeah, like I learned a lot
to
from
educate
you guys
people
today.
A little bit about different cultures.
Yeah.
And about kind of the, and history too. You know, it's like if somebody's really interested, we can go into the whole thing about like, you know, this instrument's been around for at least a millennia based on, you know, carvings in certain places.
Yeah.
And it traveled all over this whole region of the world, and then it came to Europe, and then it became the European lute, and then the guitar, and then, you know, it's this whole progression of history that you can talk about with people. It's fun.
Did you see Robin Hood, the Disney World Robin Hood with the fox? Robin Hood is the guy that Little John and Robin Hood walking through the forest. Is that a lute he's playing?
Yeah, I think it's either a lute or it could be. There's a couple of other instruments that look like that it might be, but it's probably some sort of lute.
Yeah, you know?
But there's some different medieval instruments that have that same. One of the names is spacing me right now.
I thought you were going to talk about the Kevin Costner Robin Hood.
I don't know if there's any loot.
Brian Adams cover, you know?
Everything I do. Yeah, I love that song. I'm just joking. I did not like that movie, man. I remember going to see that at the theater and just being like, this is the worst Robin Hood. The Disney one's better than this.
For sure.
The Fox one.
Yeah, the Fox one is the one for sure.
Well, guys, man, congratulations on the EP, Hadal.
Fantastic
album or EP, and I love it. I can't wait to hear more. And I've got a Austin Music Foundation showcase on that Friday. I won't be able to make it to yours, but there's a lot. Maybe I'll get to come out and see a show.
I hope so. Yeah, man, for sure. Always great to be here, you know.
Yeah, and thanks for coming on.
Yeah, again. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Anything else I'm missing?
I think that's it.
Josh Peters and Joshua Thompson.
That's right.
Yeah.
I like that you guys use a distinction like that. There's Joshua and Josh.
I mean, Peters, you can call me Josh. I won't punch
you. Yeah. I mean, we're both Joshua.
Pretty flexible.
We try to make some differentiations for people since we're constantly being like, hey, this is Joshua and this is Joshua and this is. And then we're playing with Josh Flowers on bass. So then there's another one of us.
Josh Cubed.
Yeah. It reminds me when I think Gary Clark Jr. was all backed by Johns at one point.
Yeah, John Keys.
Yeah.
John,
Johnny Rebel.
John Michael on bass. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. It happens, man.
It happens.
It does happen. Well, guys, it was great having you on. Everyone get out there and check out this EP. It's gorgeous and you, they're awesome. Can't wait to hear more.
Thank you. Thank you.
Cheers. Gang, that's Joshua Thompson and Josh Peters from Atlas Mayor. Their EP, Hadal, available now wherever it is you stream and download jams. If you're listening to this show the day it comes out, they are playing tonight, Friday, March 17th, their South by Southwest set at Parker Jazz Lounge at midnight. That's right, even after the Austin Gen Next thing that I told you about. Yeah, you can make them all. You can go, and then you can go see Atlas Mayor do their set at midnight at Parker Jazz Lounge. Go to atlasmayor.com for all of your Atlas Mayor needs. I want to thank Josh and Joshua for coming by. It was really great talking to them, and actually very educational. Very nice talking to these dudes, amazing musicians, making amazing music. Get out there and check out Hadal now. And gang, don't forget, when you're out there checking out Hadal, maybe you're checking it out on Spotify. We're on Spotify. Find us. Listen to us there. Follow us. Leave us a rating. If you're on Apple Podcasts, leave us a comment. Let us know how we're doing. Follow us on Facebook. How did I get here? On Facebook. Find us on there. Do it, baby. We're there. Follow us and you'll know all kinds of stuff that's going on. All right? Enjoy the rest of your South by Southwest. Enjoy the rest of this song, Hadal, from the EP Hadal by the band Atlas Mayor, playing tonight at midnight, Friday, March 17th. Oh, yeah. Happy St. Patrick's Day. At Parker Jazz Lounge at midnight. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the rest of your South by Southwest. Let's get down.